What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have former Division I hooper, turned host, turned actress, and entrepreneur, Miss Kiki. I say it like this, Celevion. But you it's actually pronounced civilian, right?
If you don't say it like that, we are not friends anymore, okay?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. We start the show off with the Wall of Hoop movies, your favorite hoop movie of all time, and why?
This is always, for a hooper, a hard question. And this is like, we get attacked with this question all of our lives of, what's your top five favorite basketball movies? One, there's never enough basketball movies. Just, we're running out of time. We need another one, Hollywood. So, but top five or just my favorite?
Your favorite one.
I'm gonna go with Coach Carter because one, I feel like everybody expects me to say Love and Basketball.
I did.
Exactly.
I look at it like, don't say Love and Basketball. I was going to say that, but.
Everyone, because you're a woman, I feel like because, well, also I'm a hopeless romantic. So by nature, I kind of want to go with Love and Basketball because growing up, that's every woman's like kind of dream.
Would you literally play a man for your heart? Would you literally, like a grown man who was in the NBA, you going to play him for your heart and almost lose? Actually lose. You going to take that chance?
Did she really lose? I'm kidding.
She got dunked on. Like the movie said, she got dunked on for the game point.
It was the wind. It was in her eyes, guys. Now, no.
Okay, cool.
Now, right. No. Back then. But yeah. But Coach Carter, and I just think it's an underestimated movie. I actually go toe-to-toe with Glory Road, too. I feel like that is a very, like, underestimated basketball movie. It's the message behind it. Yeah, love is cute and, you know, everything. It ain't going nowhere. But when you get behind the message of Coach Carter and Glory Road of, like, persistence and just the mental capacity it takes to reach the level of where they started, like literally started from the bottom, now they're there. Yeah. And I just love a great underdog story. Nice. Just in life, outside of being an athlete. And we just seen it in the UConn South Carolina game. Yeah. Like we saw the number 2 seed beat a number 1 seed. Right. And it's just always a better story when you can see an underdog and just see what it took, the grit it took to get there. And just the coaching job, people underestimate what it takes for a coach to literally take a program that, you know, was capable of almost nothing to a national championship team or caliber team.
With the same players.
With the same players. And actually, they lost some players.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? They lost talent. Yeah. So, to be able to take a team from the, you know, unfortunate, you know, the area of Oakland to take them to where they are now. It's and to get them scholarships.
Right.
And it's a true story at that, both of them. So that's
your passion. Your passion for the deep meaning of basketball is very shining. Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
It's been a part of my life. Yeah, literally all of my life.
So that's the next question. When did you fall in love with basketball?
Fell in love with basketball versus playing basketball is a completely different thing because I started playing basketball around 5 years old. You know, I feel like parents put their children in just like, hey, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, just to keep you active. And that's what my parents did, you know, just to see their niche of like what they're good at. And two sports that I elevated at, excelled at was basketball and track. Mm. So my first love, honestly, was track.
Gotcha.
I know. And they're like, ooh, you like to run for fun? Like, what is that?
Who does that?
It was me. I liked to run for fun. And I was naturally really good at it. And I was naturally really good at basketball. But I was quick. I was fast. That was my thing. So I was a great defensive player. But, you know, track-wise, I was great in a lot of events. But it was also a solo sport, and I didn't like the concept of being out there by myself. I like the concept of team and unity, and I fell in love with basketball, I would say, at the end of my middle school, seventh grade, when I had the choice of becoming an actress and playing basketball, continue the route of basketball. I went to a showcase when I was in seventh grade. And Disney wanted to fly me out to start a career out here in LA. And I was like, I was so persistent. I want to go to UConn. Like, I want to get a collegiate scholarship. And I wanted to, I was like, I wasn't ready for that life. Even though it was presented to me, that's when I had to.
I mean, according to some of these documentaries, you might have dodged a bullet. Like,
you know what I mean? You know
right. Hey.
But yeah, that was the first time I had to make a choice between basketball and something else, and I chose basketball. Oh. And that's when I realized I wanted to take basketball seriously, and that was my love and my passion at that time.
And where'd you grow up?
Michigan, Flint, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
You probably haven't heard great things about us, but I promise you, we're awesome. It's an awesome place. Hasn't always been like that.
Dope. Okay, so that's where you played high school, or like you grew up playing basketball out there. I mean, it's actually a basketball-heavy place. Like, you hear
yeah, Flintstones. Hello. You don't know about the yeah. Flintstones. You ain't a real hooper.
I don't.
You don't know about the Flintstones?
No, I'm from LA. I don't know nothing about any Flintstones.
Oh well, okay.
Talk to me.
Well, okay, well, just like in general, okay, well, like Mo Pete, you mm-hmm. know who Morris Peterson
yes,
is?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, him, Mateen Cleaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know the Flintstones.
Okay, that's like on the Flintstones. I did not know they had a name to oh. that group of humans that I know they're all from Michigan.
Those group like, of yeah. humans.
So, no, that's dope. And then, what was your, let's see, your development like? Through those years of basketball, like you started taking it serious. What changed in your life to shift to the focus of eventually getting you to be a Division I college basketball player?
Well, also, I was, like I said, I was fast, I was quick. Mm-hmm. So that is what separated me from a lot of other people in that realm at that early of an age, was I was a great defensive player. But I noticed, obviously, like, I was great, well, not I want to say great, I was really good at offense, but it wasn't, I had to work a little harder on that because mm-hmm. I was such a defensive player.
Yeah.
So, when you know, the time, the effort, the sacrifice it takes on elevating you from this and this, and then also I started playing AAU.
Yeah.
So at that time, you know, the AAU circuit, I had to play a little older, so I started to see in the summertime of what differentiated good from great, great from awesome. What's a community college team versus UConn.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Yep. It's like it's you got to see the tears of what it took to get to the places you wanted to be as an athlete, which was a dream to get to UConn. And it's like, what is it gonna take to get there? You see Maya Moore, you see Diana Taurasi. You know, you see their interviews of and their work ethic, and you see the national championship games, and it's like, okay, what's going to take me to be able to get to that caliber where Gino is at, he's at the game, and he's watching, and I see every time I make a shot, he's writing something down. It's like, okay, I want to be that girl. So the amount of sacrifice and stuff it took to be able to be in the gym, not go, you know, not that's still young at middle school, but, you know, not do all the things that right. a seventh
play
grader, you know what I mean, to
out.
Do. Yep. My life became sports.
Yep.
And I'm a huge family person. So if I wasn't with my family and doing family things, I was in the sports world. And it kind of took away from, like I said, track. Mm-hmm. My passion at the time was track, and I started to shift towards basketball. So the less kind of effort I put into track, the more mental capacity and everything else it took to be able to be a great basketball player.
Are you realizing that as an adult now, or did you kind of know that at that time, like, hey, this is what I got to do to be great? How are you able to recognize that at such a young age? Because these kids don't have that, right? They have the trainers, their parents put the resources around them to be great, but it's special now when a kid actually recognizes what's in front of them and the opportunity they have at that young age.
Mm-hmm.
So did your family instill that in you, or is it kind of just like a natural Kiki thing?
Both. I can say now that I'm an adult, you see a lot of things differently, especially because I am was a host and still am a host, but you get in the realm of you seeing all the other kids do what you once did.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's like, it kind of makes you miss and like, I don't want to say regret, but it's like, I wish I would have did this, or, you know, knowing what I know now, I should have done that. And I think as I'm older, I see that I see what it was, what it was then, what I know now. But yeah. Back then, because I can say I was very fortunate. My dad, both my parents were athletes. So they kind of instilled that mentality into me, but I also wanted it. I was hungry. Like, my work ethic, my mentality, like, I wanted it as well. But it did, you don't really think about what you're blessed with and all the options you're presented with trainers and all that other stuff at the time. You're just like, oh, another practice or just right. like another session. But you don't realize that. You're not grateful that enough until after you get older and realize right. what it took for your parents to get yeah. you to that place, or just the amount of advice, or because what they're invested in, you know, you put a lot of sacrifice into that, you know, whether it's a coach, a parent, even a teammate, it's like it's a lot of sacrifice that goes into building a player up to be who they are.
Yeah.
But you also have to be there. You have to meet them. You can't just make a player like that out of scratch. They also have to meet you. They have to have something in them to yeah. meet you there to be able to do that too. So. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's dope. That's dope. And so how was, from middle school, you fell in love,
mm-hmm.
and how did that take you through your high school career? And kind of give me the 2-minute drill, right, of that career from high school to college and the ups and downs of that journey.
So I didn't go to the high school that I wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. I went to the high school that I needed to go to. Because it was a basketball school, and it was a lot of players that I wanted to play with, and I knew if we had that caliber team could win a state championship. So that was another sacrifice that I had to do. I didn't go with the kids that I grew up with and go to high school, and no. I had to sacrifice. We moved to a whole completely different city, because at that time, you had to live where you went to school. So
your parents moved for you to go to a certain high school.
Exactly. And sacrifice. So yeah, that was the beginning of sacrifice for me. It's like I went to a completely different high school to be on a state championship caliber team. And it was a different environment for me. It was a different,
demographic?
Yes, it was a different demographic for me, which wasn't a bad adjustment. It was just a different from how I grew up.
So what kind of area did you grow up in?
Flint.
Kind of. So Flint.
I think that's very self-explanatory.
Okay,
I grew up
you.
In Flint.
For those who know what Flintstones is and all that, yeah.
Flint, like, okay. It's very self-explanatory of, like, Flint. I grew up in Flint. Mm-hmm.
And then you went to school where?
And then I went to in a more, like, rural area. A little bit more farmy.
Gotcha.
And stuff like that, you know, on the outskirts of Flint. It'd take about, 30 minutes to get there. So people didn't really at that time travel. Like friends, that was a lot to travel 30 minutes to go see your friends, to go to different things. It was kind of planned out. So I did that. High school was amazing. We won a lot of state championships. And it was a great experience. But I also tore my ACL as well. Mm. So that was the beginning of like...
And freshman year you tore?
No, my senior year.
Senior. Oh,
this is when I'm going up for like Miss Basketball and, you know, trying to accomplish a lot of accolades that I could only dream about doing as a high school senior. And I fell short of that because I tore my ACL at the beginning of the year in a scrimmage. So that was a little devastating, I should say. But at that time I had already committed to Penn State at that time, so which was great. I had been committed to Penn State prior in that summer, which didn't deter anything. Like it didn't mess up anything for me. But then it helped me leadership wise. That was the first of like leadership wise because I had to grow into a completely different player that I had been used to being. Because everything I had to be invested off the court. Like, I could not contribute to my team on the court, which was very different for me. So I had to take a look inside on how I could contribute. And that was instilling, like, I don't want to say we were kind of the underdogs that year, too, because we fell short. We had some injuries, and I was a star player. So I had to invest mentally, and I had to figure out how I'm going to be a leader to my team in that aspect. Because it was a lot of ups and downs through that school year as well. Not to mention, because of how close I was with my teammates, they were a little devastated with the fact that I couldn't be on the team as well.
What is looking like a leader? If I'm a fly on the wall, your senior year, you and probably a cast, a boot, whatever you got on your
all
knee,
the surgeries, all the everything.
what does a leader look like? If I could see Kiki in her senior year having to go through this injury, what am I watching?
Well, one, it's not about self. You have to put self, you can't even think about self. Everything that I was going through, even though I could be self-absorbed, it's no place for that. Also, we had a lot of role players that year. It wasn't like we were just a stacked team of everybody came in dominant, already a top five player in the state, and they were already going to Michigan or Penn State or Iowa. It wasn't like that. We had a lot of role players that had to contribute to their role in order for us to succeed. So it wasn't just based on talent that year. It was based on we had to have skill and everything behind it. So being a leader that year, I had to invest mentally because we had a lot of players who probably felt like they shouldn't have, you know, they're not meant to be there. They're JV players, now they're on varsity, and they have to step into these big shoes in order for us to succeed and be at the caliber that we're supposed to be. And we had a lot of pressure that year because we were, it was back-to-back championship. Okay. So it's mentally instilling those players who felt like they weren't worthy of being in that spot. So it's constantly reminding them and instilling confidence in them. Two is like me knowing the plays and knowing how to direct people of how they're where they're supposed to go, how they're supposed to go, and reading the floor and like, let's adjust. So I seen it from a coach standpoint.
So you became a coach. Yeah.
Exactly, in a way. Like, you know, being able to help them guide where to go, how to go, and to be able to adjust. And just being vocal. Like, I feel like I could have been, I don't like confrontation as a person. But as a leader and as a coach, I feel like you have to step outside of that. You need to be able to be vocal to let people know when they are doing wrong. Now it's a delivery thing. You have to know that you have different temperaments on a team. There's different, everybody can't be coached the same way. So you have to know how to talk to certain people, when to talk to certain people. So it's not learning temperaments of how to like, this, it works for this person, but it may not work for this person. And it's just being more vocal, being more comfortable with letting people know when and how and where and what to do, no matter how uncomfortable it may be, but it's necessary. And it's just all about the delivery.
That's dope. And that prepared you for college, I'm sure.
Oh, like 1,000%. Yeah. I didn't see it then. I was very devastated. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. It took a really big toll on me mentally. And I can say at the time, it's like I saw a lot of people get what I felt like I deserved. So it kind of like, you know what I mean? Which is immature at the time. But
it's real, though. I mean, I don't know if that's immature. Like, the feeling, right? Your feelings are your feelings. And so you got to feel your feelings. And so I don't think it's wrong for you to feel that way. How you respond to it, right, is what matters. And
so
what, in that time, do you feel like you responded to the injury or how you felt in a negative way at all?
No. No one saw it besides my family.
Gotcha.
Everyone else saw it, like at home behind closed doors. But outside of that, no one knew. They just saw the positive. I'm always a positive person, and I think that's great about me. I always see life in a positive light, and I give off that energy all the time, no matter what. But behind closed doors, my family saw the devastated Kiki, a little bit of the depression. I can say that I went through a big depression my senior year, because it's like I only knew myself as an athlete. So it was like, when you only see yourself as an athlete, it's like, what else do I contribute to the world when that's been my life this whole time? So it was like, where do I fit in? How do I fit in? What do I do? And that's what I had to navigate too. It's like, I became the person that I was coaching too, going into Penn State. It's like, I'm already behind track. I know who my teammates are coming in. Am I gonna be just as good? I'm already, you know what I mean? It's like, I had a big mental game that I played with myself my freshman year of college.
Yeah, I have two questions from that. You know, that depression, that devastation stage. What were the tools that helped you come out of it and be ready? Let me ask you that first, and then I'll ask the second question.
Time, Timing is what helped through that. Winning a state championship, making it all, you know.
Oh, they actually
we ended up winning that year. Yeah, so okay. That was a big self, you know, reassurance there. But going into college, that helped my depression because it's like, okay, that was high school. Now I'm on to bigger and better things. I'm in a whole different ball game now. It's like, what can I prove to Penn State now? What can I prove to the world as being, you know, an addition to the Penn State basketball team now? So I had a whole shift in focus.
Shift in focus, good. Mm-hmm. No, it's good. There's people, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that struggle with injuries and get over them. Like, all I've been thinking about ever since Juju tore ACL is like, man, for someone to be that ambitious, focused, hardworking, and for something like that to happen, would it, like, and everybody tells me when you tear your ACL, there is a moment mentally where you are cooked. And it's like, I just, and I'm sure she has the support and all those things that she needs to get through that.
It's like support works for only so much.
There you go.
But it's like she has so much to look forward to, and that's what I did. I had I had something to look forward to. I had Penn State to look forward to, so that has shifted my focus. She has so much more to look forward to. It's like, it's very devastating for her. And but she's one thing that she can also lean back on and remember she accomplished. Do you see the accolades she had this year alone?
Yeah. Right.
And at her age, it's insane. As a 19-year-old, it's. Yeah. So she has something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. Her team was this close to being in the Final Four.
Right.
Like, she was the number one seed. They had never been to that space before. She has something to look forward to prove now, to get her team there whenever she comes back.
That's dope. I like that. I like that. So when you go, and I think it applies to a lot of maybe traumatic experiences, right? Mm-hmm. Work with it, feel it, right? And feel that emotion and express it. Yes, 100%. And then, but now look forward to what's next so you can change that mindset. I forgot about my second question because you might have answered it in that. So cool. So we're on the Penn State.
Yes.
We're on the Penn State. What was your college experience like, going in, coming off of ACL tear, and then being able to try to reproduce the results you had in high school? You were very successful in high school.
Yeah.
And so bringing that leadership, bringing that mentality to a program. Was Penn State good at the time? Where were they?
Oh yeah, they were Big Ten champions.
Okay, so they were really good, used to winning. Dope. And so you go into a winning experience. So, what were the highs and lows of college there?
I think this is the first time I've ever been transparent of talking about this to the world, but I think these past couple years, I've thought about this myself and kind of came to this, what I've been thinking and feeling. I think I rushed going to Penn State. Mm. And I think that knowing what I know now, I hope a lot of athletes see this or hear this, to where do not rush that process of picking a school. Take your time. They're not going anywhere. If you believe in yourself and know who you are as a player, they're not going anywhere. If you've already established that relationship and that rapport with coaches and those schools, they're not going anywhere. Take your time with making those decisions, because you see so many kids in the transfer portal now.
Yep.
And the leniency of the transfer portal. We didn't have that back in the day.
Right.
Back in my day, we had one school that we could transfer to, and sometimes the coach made it hell to be able to do that.
Right.
And you couldn't transfer within the same conference either.
Right.
So the fact that they're able to like go to a different school every single year and play every single year is crazy to me. I would have never thought that it would have got to this, but because that is happening so much, it just shows how important it is to take your time with picking the right school.
Mm.
People are just so excited to be like, committed. Yep, I'm at UConn. Mm-hmm. This is my dream school. I'm at UConn. But is UConn good for you in all areas? Not just basketball, but educationally, mentally, you know, geographically, for your family. Like, does it make sense for you in all areas of your life? So I think that because I had a great relationship with the coach. I and I was fanned out by how good the team was, and I felt like I could fit in their system. I rushed to make that decision, and I found that out later in my career at Penn State, and it didn't really work for me. Mm. So I have a lot of regrets in that sense of like wishing that I wouldn't have. I feel like I could have fit in different schools and different programs and different systems where my game could have worked and helped elevate. Although Penn State was a great experience, I had a great time. I love my teammates, love my coaches. It was a great experience. We did great things together. But all in all, I wish I would have waited to see my other options.
Did you commit super early?
My sophomore year of high school.
Oh, wow.
Like going into my junior year.
Wow.
Too early.
That is a little early.
Too early.
Especially if you're cooking.
That's what I'm saying. It was too early. Mm. And I don't think that Penn State was the right school for me, basketball-wise.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had my education was great. Penn State football school, like the environment, it was so much fun. I met my best friends there. But basketball wise, I have regrets in that sense of wish I would have went with a different program.
Yeah. So, no, I love that advice, making sure that kids take their time making that decision for college. And it's like any decision in life, right? Mm-hmm. We got to take our time when it's that big decision and not be too excited early on and really fill it out, because everything that glitters ain't gold. And
do you hear that? Sorry, that hit home a little bit.
No, I love that. And so after Penn State, you get your degree. What do you get your degree in? I'd like to share.
I started off wanting to be a doctor. People don't know that about me. I grew up in the medical world. My dad is heavily in the medical world. So I grew up in that space, and I grew up wanting to be an ER doctor.
Oh.
So bad. And so Penn State had a great medical program. And so I started off my first 2 years pre-med. Murdered me. Oh,
that's an Ann Hoopin?
My gosh. Murdered me. Don't recommend. For the ones that want to, I highly recommend, but it ain't for the weak, okay? And then I transitioned to communications, which was more me. Clearly, look at me now.
you're in the zone. Gotcha.
So I graduated with broadcast journalism, communications, and with a minor in kinesiology.
Hold up. So that pre-med turned into kines because of the same classes.
I'm like, I ain't take those classes for nothing.
Right.
Okay, then we gotta put them to use somehow. That chemistry class, the 4-hour lab. We put it to use.
Dope. And so did you ever have dreams of playing pro after finishing college?
Before I tore my ACL.
Ah, got you.
I did. Early on in the stages, like maybe freshman, sophomore year, I wanted to. And then the more I knew people that went to the WNBA and then played overseas, the more I was realistic also with myself, because I saw what my journey already was at Penn State.
Mm.
And I was a slow start to where I needed to be to even reach the WNBA. Yeah. So I then was realizing, I'm like, okay, the WNBA is off the table, being honestly speaking. And then all my friends that played professionally, they were unhappy overseas. They were very unhappy because you spend, 10 months out of the year, 8 to 10 months out of the year in another country. It's only 2 Americans per team in some countries. And the time difference, you have no family out there. They don't speak your language. It's hard to adjust. And outside of the love of basketball really has to drive everything out there, because you don't make enough over here.
Thank God for Unrivaled. Come on now.
Okay, seriously. Shout out to my friends who have started. I know the people that started that. And, they made lanes and ways for women to not have to leave their livelihood over here to make even a quarter amount of what the men make in NBA. Know what I mean? So, I was realistic with myself. I'm like, no. And then after I told my ACL the end of my junior year, I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna revisit that idea of coming out to Disney that I had in seventh grade, and I'm going to pursue that full-heartedly when I graduate. So I started making plans my senior year when they wanted to redshirt me, and I was like, no need. Right. To, you know, and then people underestimate how long it takes for an ACL.
Yeah.
I knew how long it took me for, I rushed it. Honestly, I probably should have redshirted my freshman year at Penn State. Not probably, I should have. But mm-hmm. because we had another freshman that tore her ACL freshly, they needed me. They needed a body out there. So they couldn't have two freshmen that were out for ACL. So I was rushed into playing my freshman year. Dang. I wasn't ready. So it's like, I know how long, realistically, it takes for ACL to heal and all the stuff that comes with it. And I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. I do not want to be a 24-year-old in college still. No offense to the ones who do. It's just, but those people are actually going to play professionally. So it's like that is their main goal. I'm going to graduate and I'm going to come out here. I'm going to pursue my dreams of acting, host, modeling, and yeah.
Oh. And so that's what you did.
And that's exactly what I did. I graduated. I moved down to Florida for a couple of months just to, you know, get me right financially. I had a couple jobs. Like, of course, thank you. And then I moved out here, worried the heck out of my mom because I was on the other side of the country by myself. And I came out here and fully put my trust, my passion, my work ethic, everything into acting. And here I am.
So give me the 2-minute drill.
Okay.
Of moving to LA to being on a network TV show.
Yeah. Like,
2-minute drill. Ready?
Ready?
Go.
Let's go. All right. So moved out here. Obviously, I had to live out here. You have to have a couple jobs. So I was a server at a restaurant. So I was working late one night. Went to CVS because me and my roommate, I think we needed water or something. And I'm in CVS, and then this guy runs into me. He's like, yo, you look like you'd be great for my show. And I'm like, I've heard a lot of guys say that, and you're just trying to sell a dream, but okay. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm still having, you know, conversation with him. I'm like, yeah, for sure, okay, thank you, and stuff. He's like, do you act, do you model, and all that? And I'm like, yes, I do act. And he was like, okay. So he continues on the phone, and he goes up, he gets his stuff, and then he gives me this sheet of paper on the back of his receipt, and he was like, call my casting office tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, all right, okay, talking good, we're getting somewhere. And sure enough, I go into the car, I look up this man's name, and it's Kenya Bears, a man who actually can sell a dream. Knee slapper, got him. He could sell me a dream, and he did sell me a dream. And I called his casting office the next day. They sent me a monologue. They had me come in to see if I could actually act, if I could walk my talk. And they loved me. They got me my manager, who got me my agency. And then I got on Grown-ish. And then everything spiraled ever since. And I've been on shows and everything. So, yeah.
I need, go through that. That's amazing.
That's the starter package. That's a great 2-minute drill.
No, so that was like that's how you got on. That's dope.
Yeah.
And what all have you done? So I know you host for Ballers Life.
I have.
Like all those little things in there, because journey. Just talk about what you've done, because I like for people to see that basketball doesn't stop. Like it can carry you through your career. Whether you're, you know, a host.
Seriously.
Or whatever you want to do. If you wanted to become an ER doctor, you could have rolled into that.
Yes.
Again after you were finished. And so all of the things that led to where you are in that. So from Kenya Burris even to the other stuff. Yeah.
I like how you said that. Because before acting, I was hosting. So, and I think hosting has helped me transition to acting. So because I played basketball and I had the resume that I had, Ballers Life reached out to me to see if I wanted to host one of their shows that was on Snapchat. And I was like, I never really saw myself as a host because I'm like, I can't think of questions fast enough. I'm like, well, how am I going to do that? And so I'm like, I have a conversation, but thinking of questions, I'm like, I don't know, but sure, let's try it out. And I went in, did the interview. They loved me. They hired me. And it started off as a Snapchat show where they had like NBA sons, you know, when I just, they were following like, you know, little Bronny and like all everybody's right. children, which was a hit. It was a smash. And then because I started to, they wanted it to grow. And so we came up with the idea of doing like day in the lives. So I would spend majority of the day with these kids and to get them outside of all the fancy glitter and gold and the basketball stuff, like, who are they in the core? Like, let's get to know them on a personal level. And so that's when we ended up doing Day in the Lives with the kids, and that became a smash hit on YouTube. And so then I started going to like events and like showcases and stuff where I'm actually building a rapport with the kids, so they felt comfortable enough to have me spend the day with the crew with them to be able to do that, and doing like little side interviews there. And that progressed into Nike seeing me and Jordan Brand, and then they wanted me to come on to, you know, host some of their stuff and their panels. So it kind of was like a triple effect of,
And you said yes to something that you were uncomfortable with.
Uncomfortable with, and I ended up, it was easy. I'm like, I've been talking about basketball all my life. How hard can it be? And I learned my strengths on camera and how comfortable I was in front of the camera. And because I was comfortable and the camera became my best friend, it helped me with acting because all of the cameras, I'm like, I'm already comfortable in that space of doing this real chill. Yeah. Like, it's like no one else is in the room. We're having a conversation and I don't sweat. I don't think nothing about it. I'm like, oh, did you get that? So all of that has helped me, all from basketball, helped me become who I am today. So I can thankfully say that I'm grateful for the journey of what basketball has done for me.
Awesome. Dope. And so now you are, it's known. You're going to be on this new season of BMF.
I am.
Coming up this summer, June.
Catch up now. June 6th.
I rewatch. I rewatch before I watch it.
Good. So you're fresh.
I'm hoping this season moves faster. Last season was slow, man.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah. I promise. And I'm not just saying that.
No, I think it is. The whole Mexico piece that they're
highlighting. That's what I'm saying. They reeled you in a little bit.
They did.
they did. They did a big one with that trailer.
No, absolutely. And what would you tell to the now basketball player who wants to get into maybe hosting and acting? What's the biggest piece of advice that you could give them?
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I know we get so focused and locked in on being the best athlete that we can be. But I think being multifaceted and starting to work on different things outside of just trying to become an amazing athlete will help guide you into being and getting into different revenues of life. So, you know, say for instance, you like photography. Yes, be in the gym 10 hours that you need to be, but on the side, leave a little bit of time for yourself to be able to explore and put in effort into being a great photographer. Like, I think we see that so much in women's basketball now. You see which I love about us. We're able to kill it on the court, but then we're also able to, like, be off the court and have podcasts. Like, Angel Reese.
Yeah.
She's able to be a bad girl off camera. Like, you know, she's able to have her own podcast. She's able to venture out into being a fashion mogul. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Go to Met Gala and stuff like that. So leave space for other hobbies and other passions. Be great at an athlete, which you can be, and we've seen it on so many different levels of people who have done that. The least space for your other loves.
That's amazing advice to have some balance. It's tough because the world tells you grind 24/7 and all that. And
it's not.
No, actually, just have a good time management and just work hard in everything you do. And if you balance all those things out, like you said, those opportunities open doors for you everywhere. So,
because when you're forced to doing it, you don't know what to do, you get into that depression. So
we're going to have to do another show.
You get what I'm saying?
Talk about that. That mental health piece is key. That's awesome. No pun intended. I said that mental health piece is key. No pun intended.
Oh, I like what you did there. Did we catch that?
Nope. All right, so we're going to keep on going with these TV shows. We're going to do My Rushmore. Thank you for sharing your journey, by the way.
Of course. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. Your top four cable shows, cable TV shows, all time.
All time? I thought we were just talking about right now. Oh, my God.
All right, we can do it right now.
Okay. That's the first time I started sweating since the camera been rolling. top five?
Four.
Okay.
It's My Rushmore. It's the Mount Rushmore.
You're Mount Rushmore. Okay, you're right. Okay,
It's on purpose.
I'm only doing right now, but I'm just going to do it because I'm obsessed with these type of shows, Grey's Anatomy.
Because you want to be an ER doctor.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm living vicariously through them. So Grey's Anatomy, for sure. I'm obsessed with White Lotus right now. I'm like, White Lotus is so good. If you haven't seen it, you should. And Paradise.
Yeah,
Paradise. Is really good. Fire. And, this is the last one. It's a lot of pressure. It has to be like really good. I'm really obsessed with Raising Kanan right now.
Really?
Too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Raising
Kanan. No, it's good.
That's a good balance of four.
No, like, it is. They're all different
type of shows.
For sure.
And yeah, Raising Kanan. So.
Dope.
Mm-hmm.
My four, I'm going to put Paradise on there since the newest.
But yeah, one. You wrote a little bit. I heard you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nah, Paradise. Listen, episode 7, maybe the best episode for any TV show. When they showed what happened, I don't want to give it away. People haven't seen it.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
It's when they flashbacked to the.
Oh yes, yes.
The episodes.
They ate with that. They ate with that for real.
The acting and everything about it—it was just fire. So yeah, Paradise for sure. If you haven't seen Paradise, go watch Paradise. You got to get past the first episode. People be like, "Oh, I watched the first episode."
No.
Don't sleep.
Don't
get past the first episode.
It's so good.
Second, I'm going to. I'll just say the Power Universe. Cause I
was
re-watched,
gonna say that. Okay.
It's all connected, right? So I just rewatch all of them all the time, and right now happens to be Raising Kanan.
That's
it's
what
not,
I'm saying.
It's not my favorite one. I love the original one, but
yeah, no, nothing can beat the original.
But I think where Raising Kanan is going and how it's going to transition into him meeting Ghost and Tommy eventually and all that, like in the spinoffs, like I'm excited for that. So definitely. My wife will not watch any of those with me. just like, she's like, you're just watching this again? I'm like, yep.
And happy about it, too.
Yep. So, the my third, I'm trying to think, cable TV shows. This is
a hard one. It's all, because I think about what's right now.
See, that's the thing. So, I was going all time. So, I was going to put Snowfall on there.
Oh.
Because I still watch Snowfall like they play it today. So for me, really Snowfall's on there because I still watch it. And then lastly, I'm trying to think, it's actually
I'm curious.
It's a do I have to do a TV show? Because it's a reality show.
Oh my!
It's The Challenge.
You're a reality guy. Yes. Okay, that's fun though.
Yeah.
That's fun. I thought you were gonna say like Real Housewives of.
No.
Of Atlanta or something.
I mean, no, so we do watch, like, we're watching Temptation Island right now.
Okay,
we watch Are You the One, The Circle. Okay. Like, I do watch all those shows, too.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to think of what I actually watch, and if I have to say anything. The Challenge is, like, whenever that's on.
I haven't seen that yet, but I know people that are in there that are my friends, so I'm like.
It's been 40 seasons, so you will have to really catch up.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. So when me and my wife first got together, we were just binging shows. Mm-hmm. We started binging The Challenge and we like went all the way back and we pretty much seen all of them. So now we like the storylines and the people getting older through the years. So we're kind of just attached to those people and like, oh, these newbies coming in. We're just arguing with the TV and talking mess. So it's just fun. It's more.
The fact that you both can like sit there and watch the same show and you guys don't watch them without each other, right?
Oh no.
You're not supposed to.
We would fight.
Okay, good.
So
I'm like, you're
that.
Never
all right,
supposed
so,
to do that.
I'm making a confession. Babe, season 3 of You, I watched it by myself and then I watched it with you after. I love you though. You were gone. She went to her grandma's house and the new season was out. This is back right after COVID and I was at home by myself and she took my daughter.
This is the first time she would be hearing this.
Maybe.
Wow. Love you though. You see how the tables have turned? How I'm a host and I was able to get that, pull that out of him. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Hey, it is, but I'm gonna get in trouble now. Hey, it's okay now. The new season of You is coming out and I'll watch every episode with you,
so
I promise.
Excited. I promise.
I promise.
Wink, wink, right. Don't let it get too good.
All
right,
now we're gonna turn the tables on you.
Right.
We're gonna do Fix the Net. Misconception about Kiki Sullivan.
I love how he does that.
That you want to make straight.
Misconception of me. I have two. Can I do two?
Sure.
Okay. One, you know how many times that someone has told someone that I was a collegiate basketball player, D1 at Penn State, and they're like, what? Right. And it's like, I'm really dressed up and everything. Like, you short and you look like that. And then, meanwhile, let's go. Let's go to the court right now. You can still get the smoke. And then they see like a highlight, or they see me actually play, or they see like my handles or like clips on Instagram. They're like, oh, wait, I underestimated you. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, yeah, don't judge a book by its cover. Yeah. Mm. So that's one. And then two, I think because of how transparent I am on social media and how open I am with everyone, which I am. I'm very like live. I'm the life of the party. I'm always on 1,000% of energy. But I'm also, I go home and I will be in silence. I enjoy, as much as an extrovert I am, I'm a little bit of an introvert as well. Like, yeah. I love going home and being in peace and solitude, not have to speak to no one for hours and just watch a show and cuddle my dog.
There you go.
I think that is a misconception that I'm always on go and I'm always on like level 10.
That's when you're plugged into the outlet. So when you get out, you got the energy.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. Re-energize. So
go ahead and fix the net.
Oh.
This is the first time you ever dunked? No. You're supposed to score.
Oh, my bad. Wait, redo. Cut.
And don't knock down LeBron.
Sorry, LeBron. Hold on. All right. In your face.
There we go.
LeBron, wait.
Hilarious. All right. This is where we flip the script. You get to do what you do. Two questions for me. It could be about anything in the world.
All right. I'm ready. So, faith over fear. I see that you're wearing that in the interview right now. Mm-hmm. Explain that hat to me, why you chose to wear that hat for this interview.
This is my hat car, my car hat. When I don't feel like my hair looks good, I put this hat on. That is why I wore it today. But I bought this hat.
There's a bigger significance behind it.
I bought this hat. So I'm wearing, it's a act of faith. Steph Curry is kind of associated with the brand. What's my man's name? Lanny Smith.
Okay.
He does Actively Black. So okay. This is his first company. And so it was just a dope active wear company mixed with, you know, just the spiritual side. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big person. I make moves of faith. Like, my friends are impressed with my level of faith. Like, I don't, like, things that, she could tell you, things that people want happen, I'm like, oh, that's going to happen. And they literally do. And it's not just because... It's just because I have this big belief that when God gives you something, plants a seed inside of you, it's for you to carry it out.
Amen.
Those things don't come from nowhere. It's not just you watching TV and dreaming it. No, God's mm-hmm. planted that seed in you because not only does he want you to see it and see how faithful he is to you, mm-hmm. but he also wants other people to eat from that tree that's going to grow from that seed that's planted.
Amen.
And once we do that is ourselves, once we realize that, all the fear leaves. I did not want to be on camera ever. That was not my thing. I'm a background kind of guy. Like, right. It's kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a background kind of guy. Like, I like to help influence situations and nobody ever sees me or nobody ever knows I'm involved.
Yeah.
But this has opened up so many doors because people wanted to be on the show, and I've met literally so many coaches and basketball connections. We've been able to be a resource for one another to help more people. And it's like, all right, when I get outside of that comfort zone mm-hmm. and I see the vision, and somebody, she, just as much as I believed in her, she sent me a text the other day, me and my wife a text, like literally crying,
aww,
little baby, about the influence, about just how much our faith has impacted her. But it's the same thing on the other side. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't know her sitting there for, what is this, our like 70th show, something around there. Like, man, she has faith in me doing this.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't have to do that. And
yeah,
so, and she's here and believes in what I do. And to all the people who are in my circle, like, I'm looked upon for a lot. And I am so grateful for that and mm-hmm. humbled by that. But they don't know that I look to them
mm-hmm.
because of that. It's it's reciprocated either way. And when you operate in faith, doors open, the Red Sea splits. You get to escape Egypt. There's so many things.
Look,
there's so many examples from the Bible. Like, but in our lives, those things happen, right? Burdens get lifted when we just have faith. Because Will Smith says it best, on the other side of fear, it's total bliss, right? And so that's what it is. And that's why I bought this hat.
I love that. Like that, I knew it was going to be a deeper meaning behind that, which I love. But I feel like people, especially being out here in Hollywood, we get so caught up in the next thing and we get so caught up in what we should be or what should be going on in our lives. We kind of lose sight of faith in God. And it's reassuring when I find similar individuals like myself who solely rely on their faith and by faith, not by sight. Wait, what's it? What is it? Oh, I messed that up.
By faith, not by sight.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But, I'm messing up a little bit. But that's reassuring. And I love to hear stories like that. And I feel like I'm seeing and I'm hearing more stories about that now with people in the industry, like leaning on that and finding and seeking it more. And it's beautiful to see more unity in that space. So
God wants our influence in all the big spaces, sports, entertainment, shoot, anywhere. God wants our influence there. So he's gonna go take it.
Because
it's ours to have if we move in faith and do as we're called to do. And we'll sit here and talk forever. Next question.
Okay, last question. I know we talked about faith and everything, but what ultimately led to your journey of being not only a trainer, but deciding to have this platform to give back to the kids in the community? Like, did you have your own testimony of something that happened with you that led to this point?
Yeah, so the big one is I had a D2 offer in high school. Going into my senior year, it's like October, maybe a little earlier, whatever. It was late in my senior year. And my parents didn't have the information to know that I should have took that offer. Mm. A good school. They were top in the country. They had resources. It was like the top. I wanted to be a lawyer at the time. It was the top law school in the country.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was like, Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. And coach loved me.
Yeah.
And even how that happened, I had moved from California to Kansas because my dad got a job right before my senior year. Like, I literally grew up with, and all those jerseys up there, we're about to be seniors, but I left right before our senior year. And I went to a camp, the first basketball camp I went to, that coach was at that camp, and I'm playing against, actually, it was Keith Langford, who was a Division I player, playing against this dude, and we were going back and forth. And Keith Langford was like an All-American, and I didn't know who he was, though, because I'm from California. I know UCLA players, USC, I don't know you. I'm just going at him, and went up to the school, got an offer. And my dad was like, let's wait. You might have some Division I interest. But if I knew what I knew now, take that D2 offer and go and be a D2 All-American or play your way out of D2, whatever it is, right? And so I never wanted that to happen to kids. Like, I want to give the information. And that's why, like, what you brought today about the injury, like, and having other options and having identity. That's what you said earlier that I wanted to dig into, is that just having identity outside of your sport is so important. And so, that's what started this, is I wanted to, what we keep in this basketball community is like a secret. Like, I got to go find a shaman to tell me what to do in basketball. No, this should be free game to let people pursue their dream and carry out what they're supposed to do.
Amen. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I feel like what's meant, that's how I feel. I take that into my acting career as well, because people be gatekeeping, you know, like their managers or their agents, or like, it's like, and people are surprised with how open I am with sending reels or resumes or like, you know, helping people get put on. But I'm like, what that's going on for them is not going to stop what God has planned for me. Yes. So it's like, why would I stop someone else's blessing by helping them and, you know, being a lending hand, paying it forward? Yeah. And it's like, that's never going to stop what God has planned for me. But I'm not going to stop being the good person that I am. So
that's it.
I love that you made that a point. So
thank you. 24-second shot clock. Let the people know where they can find you and a message that you have for them.
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram. That's where I'm active, at akitra.civilian. Civilian. And yes, I'm very active on both of those platforms. And what's next?
What? The message for the people.
Oh, the message for the people is continue being a light. You never know who's watching. You never know. Everyone's going through something at the end of the day. It just, you don't see it. So continue being a light. You never know if you can be a light in someone's life. So continue being a good person and a lending hand and paying it forward, because you never know whose life you're going to change. So.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Until next time.
We'll see you next time. Peace.